From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, the world of astrologers. But here's what's happening. Well, the New Jersey boardwalk is ablaze. Firefighters digging a trench under a Jersey Shore boardwalk in an effort to prevent a very furious wind-whipped blaze from spreading to a section just after rebuilt, after destroyed by the Superstorm Sandy. This evening, the blaze has reached 10 alarms. It had already destroyed a length of the boardwalk containing perhaps up to 30 businesses in the Seaside Park, New Jersey area, near the same stretch of sand where a roller coaster landed upright in the ocean after Sandy hit the coastline back in October of 2012. Firefighters there doing a miraculous job. The United Nations has confirmed that it has received documents from Syria on joining what is called the Chemical Weapons Convention, which outlaws their production and use. Syria's President Assad earlier told Russian TV that the papers were being sent and that it would submit weapons data 1 month after signing. The U.S. and Russia foreign ministers are preparing to meet in Geneva to discuss the plan proposed by Moscow this week. Let's check in with Jerry Corsi, writes for the WorldNet Daily and, of course, noted author and researcher. Pretty dramatic story, I think, Jerry, don't you?
Yes, George, I definitely do. And I hope it's true that Syria is serious about going through with this effort. I mean, I'm doubtful that Syria can be trusted. That's the big issue here, is whether or not Syria is going to try to fool the world community, say, oh, yes, we'll turn over our chemical weapons, and then not do so.
And, Jerry, you know, there still is, of course, question over who used the gas, the rebels or Assad. And, you know, my gut tells me it seems like I think the rebels might have done that.
Well, George, we published pictures in WND of the rebels using chemical weapons, and even the UN is not 100% certain there's proof that the Assad government used chemical weapons. Now, if the Assad government wants to admit to having chemical weapons and turn them over, that's a plus. But I don't think you can prove that the attack we're concerned about was one that the Assad government launched. And that's one of the reasons I think Congress did not support the president's initiative to launch a military attack.
And you're going to be on with me Tuesday for a full show talking about Who Really Killed Kennedy, your latest book.
I'm very much looking forward to that, George. I think there's new information, some startling new revelations, and I'm honored and delighted to have the first interview on Who Really Killed Kennedy be with Coast to Coast AM and George Norrie.
Okay, we'll see you next Tuesday, Jerry. Thank you. Of course, we'll still have our Kennedy special in November, but this book is hot off the presses, so I want to be the first to have Jerry Corsi on the show. This year is on track to be the worst for measles in more than a decade, according to new numbers released by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They say people who refuse to vaccinate their children are behind the increasing numbers of outbreaks. You make up your own mind there. A new report from the Census Bureau finds that 81% of the households considered poverty-stricken have cell phones along with their landline phones. 58% have computers. 96% of those in poverty have televisions. 83% have some sort of DVR. Let's check in with the economist Catherine Austin Fitz. What does this all mean, Catherine?
Well, what this means, George, is that most people see these, media and these tools as necessary to function in the culture today. So you'll see extraordinary lengths that a low-income household will go to keep, for example, their cell phone. So they need to be in communication to function, and it's very, very important for their infrastructure.
So, you know, the fact that they have televisions, landline phones, cell phones, computers, they truly still could be in poverty.
Yeah, they could, although I have to tell you, they'd get out of poverty a lot faster if they gave away their TV. if you look at every county in this country, George, and how much money they spend on the lottery, narcotics, and unnecessary sort of libation and drugs and how much time they spend watching TV. We don't need Washington Wall Street. If we just took half the time we spent watching TV and half the money we spent on lottery and narcotics and said, we're going to invest this in rebuilding our local economy, boom, there you go.
You got it. Catherine, thanks so much. Catherine's website, Solari, S-O-L-A-R-I.com. Pope Francis is assuring atheists, you don't have to believe in God to simply go to heaven, simply saying that non-believers would be forgiven by God if they simply followed their consciences. The grumpy-looking blobfish has won a public vote to become the official mascot of the Ugly Animal Prevention Society. This gives the fish the unofficial title of the world's ugliest animal. If you want to see a picture of this thing, and it is weird, simply go to coasttocoastam.com in the news. Look for the title, Blob Fish Wins Ugliest Animal Vote. It's weird. Up next, we begin our special report tonight talking to two astrologers. Mark Lerner is next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Mark Lerner is an expert on astrology. His book, Welcome to Planet Earth, has reached thousands of astrological students and professionals around the world. It became well-respected as one of the top periodicals concerning astrology, and here he is back on Coast to Coast. Hey, Mark, always a pleasure. How are you?
Oh, great, George. It's wonderful to be back with you.
You know, I went to a wedding last week for my niece, and they had an astrologer there, so she was doing her thing for not only the bride and groom, but for all the people who were there. And people really love this. They enjoy it. Why do people get so excited about astrology?
Well, sun sign astrology pretty much got started very strongly in America almost 100 years ago, and newspapers started realizing they could capture larger circulations, and here we are 90-plus years later, but astrology has really advanced because we work a lot now with software and mathematics, and people, of course, always want to know more about themselves, what makes them tick, and that's what astrology is often studied, at least personal astrology, the sun, the moon, the planets, the time you're born, you know, what does that mean? What is your destiny? And so on. And professional astrologers know that somehow or another, the moment of birth of a person and or any kind of business or the birth of a nation, at that first moment, whatever the sky is foretelling in terms of the astrological patterns of the sun, moon, planets, asteroids, somehow those energies can be studied and configured and figured out what that means for a person's life and their higher destiny.
You know, do you look at world events, Mark, when events happen and then look at the astrology charts, or do you do it the other way around?
Oh, pretty much. I've been doing this now 41 years, and since I was a young kid, I loved the World Almanac, and I just became focused on news and newspapers, and it's pretty much whenever the world events happen. It's not so much that I'm trying to use astrology and look ahead and figure out what's going to happen. I mean, you can do that. You can try and get a sense. And sometimes it just accidentally works out. You start studying certain astrology patterns, and due to whatever I've studied in the past, I might remember, oh, yeah, the New York Stock Exchange from May 17, 1792. Somehow we're one planet or is moving or a series of planets that might tick off something. So part of it is your memory, everything you've learned about the chart for nation or world leader and so on. And then as the planets are moving, you just kind of pick up on things of where the hand of destiny is going to strike.
All right, so we've looked at some world events. Let's go through some of them and tell us how do the charts look. Of course, the Middle East situation in Syria seems to be calming down, but I don't know. What's up?
Well, one of the things, this is really remarkable because I've been watching this now, certainly since last year, studying there are several charts often for a nation. I mean, America is unusual because we have our birth in 1776. Other countries, you have to go over so many decades, and sometimes countries are, in a sense, just like reincarnation for a person, countries can be reborn.
And the latest incarnation of Syria goes back to this leader's father, Hafez al-Assad, back in 1970. And through a bloodless coup, he took over the government back in November of 1970. So there is a chart for Syria. But what's really outstanding is studying this current leader, Bashar al-Assad, who was never really the person who was supposed to inherit the mantle from his father. The oldest brother in that family was killed. This person, who was kind of a shy, retiring sun sign Virgo, the fellow who is at the center of the world right now. The amazing thing, George, is that he was studying ophthalmology, medical school, brought back by his father, retrained in the armed forces for about, 6 years, from around 1994 to 2000. And when the father died in 2000, the current leader of Syria, Bashar, took over. He's born September 11th, can you believe it, 1965. So his sun sign is Virgo, and his sun sign connects up to the events that we were just looking at so tragically 12 years ago in the United States. But you may remember, I was back on the show in April, and I've been talking about these outer planets, Uranus and Pluto, that are forming what we call a square or right angle in the heavens, and they're reflecting what happened back in the 1930s. So in the 1930s, two outer planets were at the same two planets were also at odds with each other, and we had the Great Depression, the rise of Franklin Roosevelt, the New Deal, world dictators like Hitler, Mussolini, Mao, Stalin, and so on. And then that led to World War II. And, you know, so many people have been calling what happened 5 years ago the Great Recession. Well, the same two outer planets, Uranus and Pluto, have been at odds with each other, causing all these extreme tensions around the Middle East in particular and the war in Syria. But this person, Bashar al-Assad, was born when the sun and those two planets are in a triple conjunction. So he becomes symbolically the center of everything, whether he wanted to be or not.
Well, that is true. So we'll look at all that. Let's tuck that aside for a second. The comet Ison, how does astrology tie into this?
Well, what I find fascinating in this, you know, it's only been really recently that the Russians, I mean, the world situation for the last few years, I'm not saying Russia was completely on the sidelines, but when Edward Snowden wound up in Russia a couple of months ago after the whole intelligence kind of crazy thing that was developing there, which is still, of course, a major issue around the world, and he went into Russia, it sort of became a playing card for Vladimir Putin. And now what's interesting is that this comet, Ison, I-S-O-N, was actually discovered in Russia back almost a year ago. And so astrologers are looking at both the chart for when that came into being, the discovery chart of that asteroid back on September 21. We can kind of look at that and get some sense of, you can't really tell whether or not it's going to flare into an incredible brilliance, because that's really an astronomy factor. But we do know that the events are going to be right around Thanksgiving, when the comet comes closest into the sun. And that puts the comet very, very strong in early Sagittarius. Okay, and Sagittarius is, in this case, actually, it'll be right on the rising sign of the chart a lot of astrologers use for the United States, for when the United States was born. It's called a sun grazer, as you probably have had folks on already about it. I don't know, you know, astronomers reporting about it on Coast to Coast.
Absolutely. Just had Dr. Sky on.
Well, of course, everybody's hoping, astronomers are hoping it won't be a dud and that we'll actually see something spectacular. I just think it's a hint already, because it was discovered in Russia, that this is why we're seeing how the Russians and Putin are suddenly on center stage, this whole thing, whether it's going to work out or not, about the chemical weapons in Syria, and how this is being played up between Putin and Obama and Russia and America. It's all part of the comet getting closer from the depths of space. And in a sense, just like a Halley's Comet, which is a periodic comet, when Halley's Comet came in 1835, Mark Twain was born, and then later on, about 15 years or so before it came back, he said, I came in with Halley's Comet, and I expect to go out with it. And when it came back in 1910, he died. So in a way, comets can be really spectacular, and we can have people come to the forefront of consciousness or nations or special events when they appear.
Everybody's concerned about, Mark, what kind of year we're going to have in 2014. Are we going to have a better economy? What's going to happen with them? Of course, next hour we'll take some calls for you. But as you look at 2014, what's it look like for us economically, first and foremost?
Well, yeah, I'm very concerned. I mean, I tend to be an eternal optimist, just even in the situation that was just happening here in the last week. And I wanted to mention this, and maybe, you know, we may go back to this later on. There is an extraordinary parallel between the chemical weapons crisis that we now have, what may happen at the beginning of 2014 and throughout that year, which I'll comment on in a moment, but there is a parallel to where the planets are now and where the planets were during the Cuban Missile Crisis. You just were talking to Jerome Corsi, who's going to be on next week, about mm-hmm. President Kennedy, and back in the Cuban Missile Crisis. It's absolutely astounding, George, that, you know, a lot of people get into astrology and they say, do the patterns repeat? I mean, there's any time in history where maybe several of the planets are back to where they were at another point. You know, how often would that happen? I was just looking at the charts for when President Kennedy announced to the nation that we were having to do this blockade of Cuba back on October 22nd, 1962, and when Obama was just talking the other night. And there were so many planets in the same exact degrees of the zodiac, and Mars and Saturn, two very important planets, very powerful. And so in a way, we're having history repeat itself. What I'm concerned about with 2014 is that for the first time in 248 years, when New Year's begins and everyone around the world pretty much is asking a question, whether out loud or silently, what will the new year bring? We've got the sun with Pluto, the outer planet, and they're the closest they've ever been at a New Year's in 248 years. And Pluto can represent kind of the underworld, the darker, mysterious, secretive forces, some of which can be powerful for the good, for a catharsis and a purification for humanity, but often they represent things like terror and atomic nuclear fears and things like that.
Why do people seem to be so concerned about events? Why can't they just control it themselves?
Edgar Cayce was amazing. I'm a Sun Sign Pisces. Edgar Cayce was a Sun Sign Pisces. Early on, when I got into metaphysics, astrology, lived at the Findhorn community in Scotland and learned a lot of esoterics, I found Edgar Cayce very interesting as a person. He, as the sleeping prophet with 14,000 different trance kind of analyses for people and about events, he would often say things like, human beings have free will. And astrology is very, very interesting because a lot of people dismiss it. You know, people want to feel like we do have free will, we can control our own lives. I believe that we are all souls and spirits, and that somehow or another, our births are not, it's not like, oh, there's nothing I can do, I was born with this sun sign or these planets and I'm stuck. I feel that somehow there is an orchestration through whatever we might call teachers, masters, angels, just a whole series of prophecies, including the souls and spirits of our parents. Regardless of, sometimes people are born into very difficult, very tragic circumstances. Other people are born into a incredible wealth, but there's some purpose and destiny. At the same time, so the celestial pattern at birth is in our hearts, it's in our minds, it's in our auras, and we're being guided through these planetary patterns. At the same time, George, we have the free will, I guess the way I like to call it, and this is kind of through Carl Jung, the Swiss psychotherapist, who also studied astrology, that anything that's born at a moment of time has the qualities of that moment of time. Time is an amazing power, and we have free will to decide what we want to choose as a path of how we want to act or not act and so on. No matter what events befall us, which may be part of our destiny, we want to be able to act. And he was the one who said, it's kind of like a coin, like a heads and a tails. What we don't fulfill in our destiny comes back to us at our fate. And so fate and destiny are two sides of one coin. And we want to be able to be active free will thinkers and hope that, you know, we stay on course. If we make a mistake, we need to pick ourselves up and then try harder to be successful in what we're doing.
Well, let's hope we get that way. Mark, stay with us. We're going to talk a little bit more about astrology. Next hour, we'll take some phone calls with you. Mark's website, earthaquariusnews.com. Linked up for you at, of course, coasttocoastam.com. By the way, if you haven't picked up our apps for the Android and iPhones, go ahead. They're free. Simply pick them up at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast, Mark Lerner with us, the astrologer. Mark, do you look at every event astrologically?
It would take a lot of time, George, but I line up the most favorable ones. Now that we have great astrological software where you don't have to sit like 41 years ago, it would take me, I'm not kidding, 5 hours to construct just the chart. Five hours to make sure the planets and everything. It was very excruciating mathematical work, and now with computers and incredible software, 4 decades later, you can open up your computer program and just put in the data. And often between TV, cell phones, and everything else, they're showing the time of an event. Sometimes you need that birth time or the moment that a speech was given and an event happened in order to get the most exact accuracy.
With an individual, how do you work that? Do you look for their birth date and then the day or the year of whatever moment we're talking about?
Yeah, well, in fact, you know, somebody just emailed me before the show started and said, I don't know my birth time. Can I still get an accurate chart? That kind of question. An astrologer can tell a person an extraordinary amount of information about his or her birth potential, their cycles in the future. Even if a person said, I don't know at all, you can still do an amazing amount of work for that person, because most of the planets in a given day, at least from including the Sun and Mercury out through Pluto and the asteroids and Chiron, they're not moving a whole lot in the zodiacal signs. The Moon moves maybe half of one zodiacal sign in a day. What you don't know with the person, if you don't know the time, you don't know what's rising, you don't know what's setting, you don't know what's up or down, and you can't figure out what are called the houses or the, you imagine a horoscope most people have seen somehow or another, even if they haven't had their chart done, a circular wheel, it's like a pie that you divide into 12 pieces. That, with an exact time or an approximate time, then you can do so much more accurate work and literally for hours and hours explain to people, you know, analyze why they're here, what their higher purpose is, what their challenges, what their opportunities are. But like I'm saying, even if a person said, I have absolutely no idea and I can't figure it out, there is what's called rectification. And over the years, a lot of people presume to say, oh, if you tell me, you know, accidents, this and that happened, you graduated from this school, you got this particular job, maybe the passing of a relative in your family, and you added all those things up, astrologers can go back and try and what we call rectify. But that is, it's more of an art and it's not really a science.
Now, you say the world's going to face an enormous challenge starting just in a few months,
yeah.
January 2014. Tell me more about this.
Yeah, okay. Well, actually, I was during the interim, we're already in this cycle that I talked about back in April, which is very rare when outer planets make angles, either oppose each other or go by 90 degrees. In this case, we have the same two planets, two of the outer three, Uranus and Pluto, doing the same kind of squaring, which is considered a tension crisis-producing energy. Back in the early 30s, when Franklin Roosevelt took over from Hoover, the New Deal happened, and Franklin Roosevelt, his life paralleled Adolf Hitler to an extraordinary degree. They both came in 1933. They both died within a couple of weeks in 1945. And so we had a kind of, the Uranian forces is kind of the left-wing revolutionary energy, and Pluto represents more of the tyrannical dictatorial elements. And again, there are shadow elements of Uranus, which are shocking and terrible and off-kilter, and there are parts of the Pluto that are not all terror-oriented, that are cathartic and purifying and can represent higher willpower. But we're having the same two planets during this time period. And what's going to happen is that there's going to be an increase of voltage as we hit the first couple of months of 2014, the first day of the year, as everybody is sort of doing an affirmation for them personally, their families, or thinking of the world. the Sun is with Pluto. But then we go from there, and then in March and April, a large number of celestial bodies make what we call stations. They slow down from the Earth's viewpoint, at least from our vantage point, and do what we call a station, may go retrograde and go apparently in reverse from in the zodiac, or they stop their reversal and they go forward. And the more of these that happen, and there'll be quite a lot in March, including Mars and Jupiter and Saturn within like 2 weeks at the beginning of March. And then in April, we get another one of these Uranian plutonic energies. But here's the kicker. When they do it in 2014 and a couple of times in 2015, George, they activate the Sun of America from 1776. And they haven't been doing that yet. So as the planets are doing this sevenfold dance from 2012, 2015, these two outer planets, they finally trigger our life force as a nation. So this whole thing, you know, when Obama the other night said, whether we agree with him or not, America's not the world's policeman, I think he said it twice. One of the things that people don't realize about this person is that he was born when Juno, the smallest of the four main asteroids, was stationary. And so many people do not like what he's doing. Other people may like what he's doing. But I think after 8 years or whatever the time period that he's president, when people look back, what they'll find is that the power of the presidency, like the Nixonian type of presidency, the Reagan type of presidency, that will be gone. You see, whether we like that or not, because a person has been chosen to come in there who's you know, between the Congress and the presidency. In fact, the American public doesn't particularly like almost any of those groups, including the Supreme Court. So I don't know where we stand on that, because the people are really losing out in all of this. That's the real problem here. You know, American people and the people in the world need to be heard from more, and the leaderships seem to be failing everybody.
Do the charts ever say things that are upbeat, or are they always negative?
No, you know, the thing is, sometimes, you know, I've been doing what's called the Cosmic Calendar as part of the website, the Earth Aquarius News website, but it used to be at the center of that Welcome to Planet Earth that I did for almost 20 years in print. And the thing is that sometimes people will say, when are you going to say something that's positive? You know, well, there are a lot of days, and people look at what I'm saying. You got Venus can be very positive energy, so is Jupiter. Mars and Saturn tend to be more challenging for the most part, not always. And then the outer planets throw a lot of monkey wrenches into things, and Mercury moves very fast. But in each given day, there is actually every single day through what I've been writing, the cosmic calendar, there will be morning, afternoon, night energy fields and patterns of the moon. They make what are called trines, which are 120-degree mathematical relationships, or another thing is called the sextile, which is 60 degrees. All of this is mathematics, George. So it depends on which of the planets, what are the angles they're making. Like right now, we have Mars and Saturn, and they have just been exactly square, whereas like in the Cuban Missile Crisis, the same two planets were exactly opposite. And in both cases, they're triggering what's called the moon's orbit or the nodes, the so-called dragon's head and dragon's tail. And when you have planets that are related to war and sort of large-scale events like Saturn, and then they influence the moon's orbit, that's when we have these calamities or crazy things that everybody's scratching their heads and saying, what's going to happen to the world?
Now, does astrology tell you what you can do or what you can't do?
Well, it's both, really. You know, the thing is that I did a reading recently for a young boy, and somebody wanted the purpose of the reading was he'd been homeschooled. You know, can I look at the chart and find out what are the kind of careers that he would be good at? As long as one has a reasonably good birth time, then you can look at certain house positions and certain ruling planets of parts of the chart, and you can definitely guide somebody so that if the person is saying, well, should I be a musician or should I be going to high tech? Sometimes you can see that somebody can be very, very good in more than one area, like you, for instance. I mean, you're a sun sign Gemini, and Gemini sun signs tend to be extremely good at doing at least two things, if not multitasking extremely well, whereas other signs, like maybe a fixed sign, might focus much more on one main thing, at least on a career level. But other people who are, say, mutable signs like Gemini, Pisces, Virgo, Sagittarius, they're often very good at multiple things. And if they don't realize that when they're growing up, they think, why am I so conflicted between, say, these two areas and I don't know what to do, when the reality is you can do both and do them both well.
Well, that is true. So you think 2014 for some will be okay and for others maybe not?
Well, yeah, I wanted to bring up, with all the thing about asteroids and Comet Ison, and, you know, there's the solar maximum of sunspots that's apparently not so maximum, although a lot of astronomers feel it's going to, the magnetic forces of the sun reverse, I guess, at these points. We're going to see that, and then we might have more sunspot activity, and that might influence the Earth and more Earth changes. But what I wanted to bring up, too, is, you know, a lot of people need to know practical things. For instance, every year and a half, Venus will stop from the Earth's point of view and go in reverse. We're going to have that happen right at the solstice, at the winter solstice, December 21, Venus in the sign Capricorn for 6 weeks will go in reverse. Now, if women or just men and women are thinking, hey, let's get married at New Year's this year or get married and go on a honeymoon in January, I would not, if I were doing their charts and they asked me, I wouldn't recommend it because Venus would be retrograde in their marriage chart, for instance. Or starting
and what does that what does that mean? Venus will be retrograde.
Okay, well, for instance, when you do marriage charting, just as an example, or even relationship charting, let's just say two people, you know, they have all this Match.com kind of stuff, and people think, oh, I'll find my partner. Well, if the first date, for instance, were to happen during a Venus retrograde cycle, which happens for 6 weeks every a year and a half, that means that the planet Venus is moving in counterpoint to the natural motion of the sun and moon. And therefore, the odds of having a more loving, understanding, sensitive partnership would be at least percentage-wise lower than if Venus is going forward, okay? And the same thing, like with communications, the next Mercury retrograde cycle, which happens three times in a year, that has to do with communications and travel plans and business and buying and selling things. Well, that'll happen October 21 to November 10. So people ought to know, hey, that's a Mercury retrograde. Not that it's bad, but that Mercury is then moving in counterpoint to the sun and moon, and there's a kind of unruly, unorganized energy to communications, and you need to watch that in order to not to make mistakes.
Have you ever done an astrological chart, Mark, and it scared the living daylights out of you?
The chart that I've studied more than any other chart, just to be honest, which still scares the living daylights out of me, is the exact moment when President Kennedy died. And we know that moment. I mean, it's not like people were wondering, did the SEAL Team 6 actually, you know, go in and, you know, some people were saying Osama was never caught or he had died years ago and people didn't believe different things. Back when I was 13, you know as well as I do, you know, for 4 days, the world could not believe what was happening in Dallas. The chart for that moment, even though, and now you're going to have Jerome Corsi, I'm really eager to hear about that. And I know you've had many guests and talked so much about this, and now we have the 50th unfortunate anniversary of those events in Dallas. But that chart has what's called the Pythagorean Triangle, which is it actually goes to ancient esoteric Pythagoras from 2500 BC. It's what's called a 3-4-5 triangle of 90 degrees, 120 degrees, and 150 degrees. And it's a part of ancient geometry. And there are three planets, Mercury, Jupiter, and Uranus. They're not only in the configuration, George, they're in the exact minute, as close as you can get. It's as if there was something happening in the cosmos and it had to do something on Earth in order to sort of like almost like justify or fulfill its mission. In that case, it was the terrible event on that day.
Let's look, yesterday we had the anniversary, of course, on the Wednesday,
yep,
of 9/11. That tragedy, of course, is something that is etched in our brains forever.
Mm-hmm.
That date is etched in our brains forever. Let's talk a little bit about that date.
Right.
Is it a bad date now forever or not?
Well, you know, this brings up some really unusual thing. There's, you've heard the term the void, of course, moon. It's a controversial kind of thing. When that day started, when that whole morning, you know, which we can't get out of our minds, you know, how did that happen? You know, who was asleep at the switch? You know, why did all this happen? And now we learn from history, you know, the different people who were involved and in the United States and taking advantage of, you know, airplanes and technology and, you know, there was a void moon. Okay, in in what we call Gemini, late in the sign of Gemini, which means the void moon means that until the moon is about to go into the next sign, it's made all the major alignments it can make. And this void moon goes back about 2,000 years. And some astrologers work with it religiously, and other people kind of ignore it because it takes a lot of effort to keep watching it every 2 to 3 days and figure it out. But for a number of hours there in that morning, the moon was in this void situation. And what that told me and many, many other astrologers was, unfortunately, whoever was perpetrating this, somehow or another, that they either they wouldn't be caught, or that a lot of those folks would never be prosecuted, and the whole thing would remain sort of unsolved. Okay. Right. Now, there are many other planetary positions of that particular event. And, you know, from the other side of the people perpetrating it, of course, we don't think of it here in America, that was an incredible victory. So when you said, you know, is there good, you know, is there bad? It all depends on, you know, how people are looking at the history that led up to that, you know, around the world, and people thinking America is the great Satan, if they're an Iranian Islamic person, perhaps, you know, and some of the other countries in the Middle East were imperialism by, you know, France and England and the United States and Germany and all different countries for centuries, you know, not centuries, but decades, certainly. But yeah, there were a lot of tragic overtones in that particular chart. And there you have to look at that chart and compare it to, say, America's birth chart from July 4th, 1776, the chart for President Bush, Vice President Cheney, different people, and then you start seeing the connections, and then to the other side, Osama bin Laden, and so on. And then the astrologer sort of puts the pieces of the puzzle together that way.
What can astrology not tell you?
You know, the way I approach it, before I ever got into all this, when it was just starting, and I had the great love of newspapers and world events, and then I found astrology, I had always been looking, George, and, you know, I went to Michigan State University.
Yeah.
Well, when I was there, I kept on thinking to myself before I got into astrology at age 22, there's got to be a sort of science. There's got to be a science on this planet. There's got to be a tool that explains everything. That's what I was looking for, a tool that would explain everything. And when I found astrology, and through the eminent astrologers, people like Dane Rudyard, Dr. Mark Edmund Jones, and so many others, particularly of the 20th century, and I was able to read and study what they had said, and historical people like Sir Isaac Newton, Galileo, Copernicus, these great physicists and scientists were closet astrologers, mm-hmm. and they really did astrology in those times, but they couldn't really come out with it because of the church and other kinds of governmental authorities. And so to me, what it is that when I found astrology, I got into the deeper levels, and I've always loved numbers and sports and mathematics. This was like, oh my God, here it is. I found it. This could explain everything. So when I work with people and they explain their situations and they want to have a reading or consultation and they need help, whether it's health or business or career, relationship, whatever it is, I say to myself, I can solve this problem. If I'm given enough information, and the timing, you know, is pretty accurate, even if it's not 100% accurate with birth and so on, I'm going to work as hard as I can to find a solution. And normally I can do that. It may not happen just in one reading, but I'm confident that I can find it. And that's my own personal optimism, that I can help people or assist them in finding solutions.
Well, and you look in all the right places, Mark. Let's take some phone calls with you when we come right back. A couple hours of Mark Lerner, of course. And then we'll be talking to another astrologer later on tonight, getting different perspectives. Your calls are next on Coast to Coast AM.